Welcome into the latest edition of the Sacramento Kings podcast presented by Hoopball and the Hoopball Podcast Network. I am your host, Damian Barling. I thank you so much for being here, as many of you always are. If you're new to the program, welcome in. We try to break down Kings games after each and every single game, give or take a few, try to give you advance notice when we're going to miss a game. But we're here tonight. Kings lose 97-91 to the Philadelphia 76ers. Go 1-3 here on this East Coast road trip. They'll be headed back to the Golden 1 Center later on this week. And Aaron Brewski and the rest of the gang at the Hoopball Podcast Network, they pay me the big bucks to break down the Sacramento Kings games. So here you go. The Kings couldn't hit shots tonight. The end. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great holiday. Now, there is a twinge of sarcasm there in my voice, but I'm being genuinely serious. The Kings did a lot of things right here in this basketball game. I thought they played really good defense. There was a point where, now, and we'll, you know, we'll get to this. We'll break this down a little bit more thoroughly, but there was a point, particularly in the second quarter, particularly in the third quarter, in the second half, you could tell that the Kings were tired, and we have the numbers to back up their fatigue. There were some things that I was concerned about heading into this game, and it really looked like in the first half, well, they alleviated those concerns. Like, right out of the gate, they were able to do that. But I don't know if the road trip took its toll on them. I don't know if just the Philadelphia 76ers took the toll on them. And quite honestly, Philadelphia didn't play all that great either. But I thought the Kings did enough, particularly defensively, to win the game tonight. But going back to, you know, my original sarcasm, they just couldn't hit a shot. They could not score the basketball, and that's what this all boils down to. That's what this entire game boils down to. Their field goal percentage was 41.1. That's not awful, but it's worth noting that that percentage skyrocketed in the final minutes of the fourth quarter. They were lingering for most of the game around 36%. They used their defense in the second quarter, in the final minutes of the second quarter, to get themselves really back into the game. It looked like this could look like this game could take a turn for the worse here about midway through the second. But the Kings used a couple of defensive possessions, a couple of transition baskets, suddenly an 11-point lead. You know, it was down to 7, it was down to 5, it was down to 3. The Kings, for the briefest of moments, took a 1-point lead before the Philadelphia 76ers went into halftime with a 1-point lead, thanks to a shot that fell there right before the halftime buzzer. But the story of the game is just that simple. The Kings could not hit shots. And, you know, specifically, you'll see a lot of times, you see this more, you see this a little bit more with players. I mean, it's a trademark of James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Not so much this year, but he's been really good at it in years past. When the shot's not falling for them, they get to the foul line. The Kings shot 9 free throws. They shot 9 free throws, and worse than that, they were 4 of 9. they took very few free throws, and when they did, they didn't make them. To, you know, contrast and compare here, the Philadelphia 76ers, they were 20 of 24 from the foul line. So let's look at this game and break down a couple of things. Of course, we'll have sound from the head coach, Luke Walton, here. As the show progresses, we'll have that coming up for you. Again, just want to mention the Kings lose, as you're well aware of, 97-91. Finished this road trip 1-3. And, you know, again, I thought they did enough. I thought they did enough tonight to where they could have taken over the game. They could have won tonight's game. Shots don't fall. Obviously, we know how great the game against Boston was. They got the win against Washington, and then they got blown out by Brooklyn. You know, we don't take moral victories anymore. We're past that. This wasn't a terrible road trip in the sense of the way that they played, but it is a terrible road trip when you come back 1-3. You can't sugarcoat this. There's not really any way around that. You could be happy with how the team played, but it didn't amount to wins. And I have some other concerns about that as well, which I'll get to here at the end of this podcast. Assuming, of course, I don't forget, so I'll make a little note here myself. As many of you have listened to me for a long time, you know I tend to forget stuff all the time. If you ever want to shoot us a message, man, please do. 916-888-5898. That's our 24/7 text line. If you're new to the program, please rate us. particularly there on Apple Podcasts. If you think we're worth the 5 stars, we'd greatly appreciate it. If we're only worth 4, hell, let us know what we got to do to get better. And if you would be so kind, if you have an extra 60 to 90 seconds over this holiday weekend, leave us a little 1 or 2 sentence review there over on Apple Podcasts. So, story of the game, Kings can't score. The bench did a good job, though, because the first half is a little bit different than the second half. The story of the first half is, again, shots aren't falling. This isn't a high-scoring game. As a matter of fact, as much, you know, the Kings lost against Boston, and I couldn't have been, I was actually concerned. I'm a little bit too hyped for this podcast. Like, I was a little bit too excited because, first and foremost, I'm a basketball fan. Now, I love watching basketball, and that was a fun, high-energy game with a ton of storylines to it. And this, nah, not so much. This wasn't an exciting basketball game. And but when you break it down and you go back to the first half, you look particularly there at the second quarter, it was the Kings bench that got them, you know, within striking distance, more than striking distance. It was the Kings bench that got them that, you know, if you blink, you missed it. But the Kings did have a 1-point lead for the briefest of moments, which is impressive because they were down by 11. They had an opportunity to take the lead. Now, to take a 1-point lead into halftime, as I mentioned, though, unfortunately for the Kings, the shot fell there for the Philadelphia 76ers as they're headed into the locker room. But the story of the first half is the Kings bench outscored the 76ers bench 22-2. They forced 10 turnovers, 15 points off of those turnovers. They had a 12-0 run that erased a 10-point lead. And, you know, overall, you know, the bench was really doing some good things for them. And there's a point in the second quarter where it's like, okay, this game is really slugging along here. And I'm not quite sure who that favors. That's what I'm thinking at halftime. Like, I'm not sure, you know, who, I think it was like 47 to 46. It was a score at halftime. Like, I don't know who that favors. I don't know if that favors the Kings, or I don't know if Philadelphia is like, hell, let's play like this. We're fine this way. I had noted, and we'll get to this. I'm going to talk about points in the paint here in just a minute. But before we do, here's Luke Walton.
We did not play well enough to come in and win a road game. I thought we started the game a little soft, a little tentative. And then I thought our bench did a really nice job of finding that heart and passion that we play with. And then we got to knock down shots when we get them. We had a lot of open looks tonight that we didn't knock down. But I do think the group did a nice job fighting back. But you know, it's one of those things we got to continue to really lock in on doing the little things better. And tonight, the little things I thought cost us a chance of, you know, trying to win that game.
How much pressure does it put on your defense when you find yourself kind of in a penalty with like 7 minutes left in a quarter and slows the game down?
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. Fouls are one of our top priorities, and we did a good job in the first half. I mean, probably the best job we've done all season as far as not playing solid defense without fouling, take away that first 6 minutes. And then we came out at halftime, and for some reason, just we were fouling. We need to put our bodies on people, show our arms. We work on it every day. We show film on it. Perfect example as a rookie on how to fight over. Yogi did a nice job of it, but we can't come out and just start fouling, especially a big team like that. I mean, at that point, then it's a physical game, and every time you accidentally bump somebody, it's 2 free throws. So we got to be better with that.
What did you like out of that group that you finished the game with?
They were playing as a unit. Every time the shot went up, you saw all 5 guys in there. You saw, we call it sandwich rebounding, but guards coming back in to help, jumping up over. And then once we had the rebound, we got out and ran, which is something we talk about a lot, but especially against this team. It's a big team. If you let them get set in the half court, there's not going to be a ton of space out there. So they did a nice job of competing defensively, playing as a unit, helping, rotating, and then all 5 guys getting the rebound and pushing it.
How encouraging was it for you guys to at least make it back, that comeback in that fourth quarter when you're down 17?
Yeah.
Back to them, last game on the trip.
Yeah, I mean, it's... that's, you know, our guys have shown that they have that now, which is great, because at the beginning of the season, we didn't have that ability. So, but we have that now. So it's time to continue to push and get, you know, past that, where it's not just about fighting and not giving in, but it's about going into arenas and taking games. So, and listen, I get it. It takes time. It's not easy. It's a new group. We got not a lot of players hurt. We got a lot of different lineups going together. You know, Belly picked up his fifth foul. We had, you know, a group in there that never played together before. So I do respect that about us, but I also know that we have that. That's part of us. So let's continue to push it and not have to keep fighting to get back into a game.
So the biggest challenge trying to find that cohesiveness, that consistency, is the biggest challenge right now with this team?
That's one, you know, that's one of them. But there's always challenges with you got a group that you're trying to, you're trying to patiently build into a winning, a winning team. And you could look at Philly, it's a great organization, right? It took them however many years it was, but now they know each other. They know where to find each other. They've been in the playoffs. They've been tested. So, we're earlier in those stages, but it takes time, and there's lots of different things. We're constantly trying to grow with our group.
You were able to get Dwayne some extended minutes tonight. He hasn't had that a lot lately. What did you like about what he was giving you tonight?
He was great. I'll go back and watch the film, but I thought he was leading out there. He was talking defensively, calling out coverages. We're getting into the rim, finishing when appropriate, kicking out when appropriate. I thought his all-around game on both ends tonight was really, really big for us.
You guys have talked about his defense.
Luke Walton right there. Lots to digest from the coach. I was looking at a couple of things as he was talking. The Kings hit 9 three-pointers tonight. They were 9 of 34. And the only reason that's of note is because Buddy Hield hit 11 by himself the other night. And that's what, that's what we're really talking about when the shot's not falling. They shot 26% from three. Luckily for them, the Philadelphia 76ers says, "I got you, player. Don't worry about that." They shot 19% from the field. But, as we talked about, to start the program, the Kings did... they did a lot of things right away from the offensive end. Like, they didn't turn the ball over a lot. As a matter of fact, they won the turnover differential 11 to 17. And as we were about to talk about right there before Luke Walton went into his press conference, we addressed, and I think it was here on the Sacramento Kings podcast. If it wasn't, forgive me. It was on the daily podcast that I host, the podcast with Damian Barling, where we were talking after the Boston Celtics game. The thing that I was concerned about is, they did a good job against Washington of attacking the paint. They did a good job against Boston attacking the paint in the first half before, that shot really started falling for Buddy Hield, and later in the fourth quarter for Bogdan Bogdanovic, and they started sticking with the outside shot. And I'm not against, it was working. Why deviate from what was working? My concern tonight was that they weren't going to be able to match the size of the Philadelphia 76ers. And man, oh man, they very much did. For a minute, King scored 26. They scored 24 points in the paint in the first half. So quarters one, quarter two, first half, 24 points in the paint. Philadelphia 76ers, 24 points in the paint. It's like, hey, okay, Sacktown, I see you. It's a good look. They made life difficult there at the first half for Joel Embiid. It didn't remain difficult for very long though, as he finished with 33 points. But I point that out because at the end of the third quarter, remember, 24 points in the paint in the first half. At the end of the third quarter, they had 26. And that's where you really saw, oh boy, the Kings are tired. Like, you could see it, and you could see it in the way that they were not attacking the basket. You could see in the way that they were settling for jump shots. You could see that things just weren't flowing offensively for them. Now, in the fourth quarter, they got back. When they got back in the game, they were getting back to attempting to score in the paint. As I mentioned, at the first half, 24. End of the third quarter, 26. They wound up outscoring the Philadelphia 76ers in the paint 40 to 38. And that's because the way that they played there in the third quarter, or excuse me, the fourth quarter, the biggest problem in the fourth quarter was a lot of those baskets came at the beginning. They had, I think they had a 10-0 run there at one point in the fourth quarter. Might have even been a 12-0 run here. It was a 10-0 run. That 17-point lead that the 76ers had built up had been, you know, cut all the way down to 7 with about 5 minutes to go. And that wasn't hot 3-point shooting that got them back in it. Not at all. That was very much them getting back to, let's work the ball in the middle. Let's just try to get some easy baskets. Unfortunately, after they cut the lead down to 7, they had about five straight defensive possessions where they got a stop. And they didn't score until the fifth one. So they went 4 straight defensive possessions. They got a stop. On the offensive end, they couldn't get a score. They couldn't get anything out of it. We're starting to see Justin James play a lot more. Here he is talking with Katie Hunter after the game.
It's high. Whether I don't play 1 minute or I play the whole game. Just coach called my number, and I was just came in and try to focus on the defensive end and make sure I impact the game on defense.
And being in there kind of down the stretch of a game that you guys are down trailing, and he did say that defense was what he saw in that group. What does that do for you just in terms of saying, hey, it's very clear kind of what he needs and what I can do to be on the floor?
Of course. I mean, everybody wants somebody who can defend. Just being a versatile player, being able to do multiple things on the floor, it gives you opportunity to be on the floor. But tonight wasn't about me. It was about our team and us not coming out the right way and coming out with a win.
Can you talk a little bit about the challenges of that Philly presents in terms of how big they are and what they do defensively, force you to do?
I mean, they're definitely a great team. Like how you said, they have a lot of size and they affect a lot of shots around the rim. But all credit to them. They did their job and they came out with a win.
Justin James there, who we saw a lot here on this 4-game road trip, talking with Katie Hunter on NBC Sportsnet. Kings lose tonight, 97-91. Again, they are back at the Golden 1 Center following the holiday. Doesn't get too much easier for the crew here, as they've got the Denver Nuggets coming up on Saturday night, and then on Monday they'll take on the Chicago Bulls. So you got to be careful when you talk about teams out there, because just strange things can happen. Chicago's not necessarily the best team. The Sacramento Kings played the Denver Nuggets really, really well the last time they got at it. I think that's an early afternoon game also. So we'll have coverage of both of those games for you. Normally we don't do Saturday night shows, but because this game is at 2 p.m., we'll have full coverage of that one for you late Saturday afternoon. So I hope you're able to tune in, just as I appreciate you tuning in here. I'm just going to go through my notes, make sure. Oh, aha! I'm glad I wrote this down. I was talking about concerns for the Sacramento Kings. And one thing that I'm concerned about, and you heard Luke Walton there say, we're trying to figure out this group, and we're trying to, get them, playing as a cohesive unit. And perhaps that led to, the lackluster start to the game, particularly on the defensive end. And they straightened that up there in the second half. I don't know that you can really fault chemistry for shots not falling in. They got a lot of good looks. They just didn't go down. Bogey had some great looks there, even as late as the fourth quarter, and they just didn't fall for them. But one thing that I'm worried about is I think we're approaching, at least barring, a setback, I think we're approaching the return of Marvin Bagley, right? So you got Marvin Bagley coming back, and you're going to try to integrate him here into the team, into the system, and playing with guys like Yogi Ferrell and Justin James, who you just heard from there a minute ago, and of course Corey Joseph. And I don't know how long you're going to have him before De'Aaron Fox comes back. It's like, okay, now we're going to throw De'Aaron Fox into this. And now for the first time, since the game against Phoenix, we're going to have De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley. And it's almost like, I don't want to say the Kings are going to have to start over, but they're kind of going to have to start over. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But, they started the season ever so briefly with Marvin Bagley. He was out the second game, so they've played virtually the entire year without him. Then they lost De'Aaron Fox, a couple of games later, and we've seen the Kings play pretty well, over that time frame. And I just wonder, like, what is it going to be like when these guys get healthy? And would it be worth, and I don't know the time difference. Like if Bagley is ready, let's say Bagley's ready by, Monday against the Chicago Bulls. And hypothetically, De'Aaron Fox is ready, let's say next Sunday when they take on the Dallas Mavericks. Is it worth having Bagley miss a couple of more games? So him and De'Aaron Fox are starting, they're back at it together. I mean, I don't think so. I'm just concerned about it's like a wave of starting the season. It's like, okay, we started it with Marvin, and now we're going to remove Marvin. We're going to play without Marvin. Now we're going to play without De'Aaron, and we're going to get this group going, and we're going to allow them to play some good basketball. We're talking about Buddy Hield having career nights, Corey Joseph seeing a lot of minutes. We're seeing Yogi Ferrell. I think he had a couple of career nights in there on the assist end, maybe on the points end earlier in the season. We're starting to get Justin James a little bit of run. Rashawn Holmes is still doing his thing. Oh, here's Marvin Bagley back. Okay, let's see if we can work Marvin Bagley in here. Okay, now Marvin Bagley's back. What are we going to do with De'Aaron Fox? What are we going to do with Dwayne Dedman here? What are we going to do with Harry Giles, who's going to be the odd man out of the big man rotation? We seem to still really love Nemanja Bjelica. He's hit some pretty big points, not the best on defense, but he's hit some pretty big shots for us, has scored when we needed him to score. Oh, look at that. Our point guard is back. Now De'Aaron is in here. De'Aaron might be our best defender when he's 100% engaged. He's the guy who pushes the tempo on the offensive end. Are we really worried about pushing the tempo on the offensive end? These are all questions that the Sacramento Kings front office and coaching staff has got to ask themselves over the next couple of weeks. And it's such a difficult position. Like, this to me is one of the most, obviously we look at playing without as the most difficult part of an injury, playing without De'Aaron Fox, playing without Marvin Bagley. I think there's something to be said for in-season injuries, particularly early in-season injuries with a young team like this, where it's like, oh man, this is brutal. This is brutal because now we're starting another, like we're starting like over again. And some would argue that the Kings started their training camp, then headed off to India, hit the pause button on training camp, played in India, played the Pacers a couple of times, came back, restarted their training camp, started playing preseason games, got going a little bit here. The season starts, Phoenix Suns, Bagley gets hurt. Okay, we're going to have to make some changes. De'Aaron gets hurt. And now you've played, a small chunk of the season without either one of those guys, and now you got to start to prepare for the return. That, to me, is one of the most difficult parts. I think that is the absolute most difficult part of a player's injury. Not the year-long injuries or anything like that, but when you're missing 4 to 6 weeks, you really haven't had a chance for some of these guys to really play meaningful minutes together. I mean, hell, some of these, Justin James is probably, in a game, hasn't even been on the floor with Marvin Bagley or De'Aaron Fox. Shoot, I don't even know if Yogi Ferrell has. At least not this season. So there's a lot to watch, and it's going to be under a microscope because we look at, like, oh, the Kings played a little bit better, defensively. And I still think, as much as this road trip sucks, as much as it sucks, that they just a couple of nights ago, they had a chance to move within, they had a chance to be 500 against the Boston Celtics. Now they're sitting at 7-10. Like, ah, damn, we're not that far off where they were when they were five games under 500, when they were 0-5. So it's going to be a difficult few weeks for the Sacramento Kings, with guys coming back from injuries. And of course, as I mentioned, they got the Denver Nuggets coming up on Saturday afternoon, and we'll have coverage for you immediately following that game at the Golden 1 Center. Appreciate you so much for being here, as always. Again, if you're not a subscriber, please become one. I hope you dig what you're listening to. We try to drop a podcast after every single game. There are a handful of exceptions, but I try to let you know in advance anytime that happens. You want to connect with the show? You absolutely can. 916-888-5898. That's the number. That's our 24/7 text line, 916-888-5898. Hope each and every single one of you has a safe and fantastic holiday, and hope to see you back here Saturday afternoon following the Kings and the Nuggets. Once again, the Kings lose tonight to the Philadelphia 76ers, 97-91. Kings fall to 7-10, finish up this four-game road trip, 1-3. We will see you back here Saturday afternoon.